How many times have you told yourself you're just tired? Alice Lloyds runs Lloyd Yacht Management in Sydney. She was a midwife before that, and for 20 years, she lived with chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia while being told there was nothing to be done about it. We talk about why stress is physiological before it's ever mental, which is exactly why high performers miss it. Alice explains what happens to a nervous system that never gets to stand down. Also, she names the early signs someone is not coping, the ones that show up on board long before anybody says a word. This one is for anyone running on adrenaline and calling it capability. Let's dive in. Welcome, Alice Lloyd from Lloyd's Yacht in Sydney. It's so refreshing to be able to do an interview in our homeland. It's often that I'm interviewing people overseas, as you know. So welcome, Alice. I'm very excited to get into the subject of stress and nervous system. I think it applies to all of our listeners. I can certainly relate. I am very keen to learn from you. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very nervous, but excited to talk to you about this because I have so much lived experience, and anybody who knows me knows I love to talk about it. So
good. Well, just speak from your heart and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So you became a mum at the age of 18, I believe. And then you went to midwifery at the age of 19, got married at 24. That is a lot for a young person.
Well, not quite. So I became pregnant at 17, and then I gave birth at 18, and my partner and I stayed together. So we were in a de facto for that whole time for 8 years from being 17. Yes, I accidentally became a mum, and then because I was raised in a very unstable, dysfunctional family with an alcoholic single mum, I was desperate for a stable, loving family. Mm-hmm. So I decided that I could take it on and I could do it and I could manage it. And I mean, I guess I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I did. You know, so my mum was an alcoholic, as we've discussed. And so from the absolute get-go, my foundations did not feel solid. And you always feel like you need to be, well, at least that is my lived experience, that I always felt I needed to be the mother and on the ball, even from like 8, maybe even earlier, because I had a health incident when I was 8 and I was blacked out and then woke up in the hospital. And the first thing I said was, "Are you okay, mum?"
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've transitioned to be the caregiver for your mum. So how, looking back now, how did that impact your nervous system? Because you would have to be hypervigilant when, yeah, coexisting in that particular family unit.
Yeah, I think the most important thing is, you know, I mean, so many of us are raised in households where people are abusing alcohol or have substance abuse issues. And my mum wasn't violent. She wasn't even verbally abusive. But when you have somebody who is under the influence, they can't be there for you in any real way. Even with the best of intentions and with all the love in the world, they can't provide you with the emotional needs that you have as a child. And so I just internalized everything. So it wasn't a safe place for me to discuss my feelings. And it often isn't when you have a parent who's an alcoholic, because they don't want you to question their drinking. If you have a dynamic where your child is able to express their feelings freely, then they can express that they're uncomfortable with your drinking. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't able to express how I felt from a very young age. And yet I'm obviously a very outspoken, opinionated person. And so there was this constant underlying message of me being too much.
Okay.
Too opinionated, too emotional, too anything. So it's just an underlying message in the family of, you know, we don't want to actually talk about what's going on beneath the surface here.
And have you changed that narrative now? Where you do? You said you're quite outspoken. And
I can't, I wish it's not, maybe. Maybe not so much. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
But that's so interesting that you say that, because all of my friends and everybody in my life would always say, wow, like, you cannot get away with not knowing how Alice feels about you. And my mum used to say before she passed, no one died wondering if Alice was angry at them.
Wow. Yeah.
But we still, as women, we are still always sort of, there's an underlying message all the time that they want us to be seen and not heard.
Yes.
And that is just the reality of the society we live in. And so, yeah, I was absolutely stuffing down. But everybody stuffs down their feelings, particularly in a professional setting. We can't be going around saying, oh, you know, every 2 seconds to whomever we feel. But there are appropriate ways to deal with our feelings.
Absolutely. Like, important for us to be able to communicate in an assertive way how we're thinking and how we're feeling. So with chronic fatigue, I believe you were diagnosed with chronic fatigue, and the
fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue, which is sometimes known as ME, which is myocarditis. So I developed symptoms to that in my teenage years. So I was very lethargic, dizzy, a lot of brain fog, and I just wasn't looking after myself like most teenagers don't. And so that then progressed, but I went to GPs and I was just basically told, that's how I am. And when you have a young child and you're studying to be a midwife and you're, you know, also working part-time and whatnot, there's a lot of legitimate reasons for you to be tired.
Burning the candles at both ends.
But I knew that it was more than that. And then I finally went to a specialist and he just charged me $300 to say, yes, you have chronic fatigue and there is nothing we can do about it. So I lived in this unprocessed childhood trauma, burning the candle at both ends, and then this constant feel that I needed to prove myself and disprove everyone who thought I couldn't do it all.
Okay. Do you think that particular type of individuals who are more prone, susceptible to chronic fatigue?
Yes. So women are 2 to 4 times more likely than men to have chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, which is really interesting. I thought athletes were more likely or prone, but I looked that up and no, it's not athletes. So it's predominantly women. But I will say, this is my favorite book in the world, When the Body Says No by Gabor Mate.
Yeah.
I just, he's incredible.
Yeah.
I don't agree with 100% of his theories, but this book changed my life and saved my life without a doubt. And I have so many sections highlighted and underlined and, you know, tagged, because the way that he describes how we are raised, our childhood is a determinant for the rest of our lives and how we process our emotions, whether we feel safe to vocalize what's going on with us. And if we don't, then the cascade that happens of ill health in our bodies if we ignore what's going on. So all, and I think one of the core things about reading this book that clicked with me and that really shifted my way of thinking so that I could understand what had made me so sick was that stress is a biological response. It's not just mental. So stress is something that can happen without us even being aware, because it's increased heart rate, muscular tension, vasoconstriction, dilatation, so we start sweating. All of these things are a physiological response. They're not mental. And a lot of the stress that we have, we're not even aware is going on. So these are unconscious feelings.
Because, sorry to interrupt you, not aware that it is going on, I think more prominent in those who are high performers. So being productive all the time, we just feel like it's part of our DNA, it's who we are. And obviously when our sympathetic nervous system is engaged, and if it's engaged too long, that's what leads to chronic stress. But we feel like we're on it, like we're vibing. It's like having 10 Red Bulls and you're like going. So the stress actually fuels the body to activate and start doing.
Yeah, but there's good stress and then there's bad stress. Like what you just described is, I think, being in alignment. It's a good stress. And if you are enjoying your job and your nervous system is temporarily going into that space of being a little bit dysregulated for a second to fight or flight because you're excited and you're talking to a new big client or you're, you know, going for a job interview or whatever it may be, that's fine. Everybody should experience those things. It's when you have the constant fight or flight being activated and then you get dysregulated, and that is nervous system dysregulation. When you stay in a place that's fight or flight, or sometimes you go into dorsal vagal. And dorsal vagal is where you sit when you're with chronic fatigue syndrome, in my opinion, and in Gabor Mate's opinion. So, and in Dr. Like, I'll send you a list of all my favorite people who have supported me in my health journey. But when you sit at that dorsal vagal place, it's basically your body has said, you're not capable of protecting me, and I need to do it for you. So if you're constantly going into a fight or flight place, then your body is being sent a message that there's a tiger in the corner coming for you and you need to react. And if you don't react, then you're going to be, you know, eaten.
Yeah.
And in this day and age, can even just be a meeting with a client that you might have some friction with, or a colleague that you can have some friction with. And because we've grown as a society so quickly and evolutionarily, we have just, our wiring has not sped up at the same pace. We have these nervous systems that are on high alert going, bing, alarm, when it's really just a notification. And so dysregulation is where you get stuck in the dorsal vagal or the fight or flight, where your body is saying, you're safer. It's protecting, it's a protective. And so even though I had chronic fatigue for 20 years, I still feel grateful to my body for doing what it could.
Yeah, to survive. Yeah.
Yeah. And that is the case for a lot of women who, and men who have had difficult childhoods and then brought it with them.
You took 6 months off to basically find equilibrium. Right. So what is that?
Well, we were kind of victims of the housing crisis. So we were renters and we were just, you know, nonstop moved from house to house as people sold their houses. And so we actually went on a caravan journey for 7 months to Queensland. And in that time, I learned a lot about my health, because when you are living in a vintage caravan with no proper blackout blinds or air conditioning, you really have to go with the birds and the bees. With, you know, you're up at sunrise and, you know, just going down to bed with the sun. And so my insomnia went like that, and my health and energy skyrocketed.
Wow.
And I really had to, it was later on, once we went back into a house and my health plummeted again, that I realized that I had to listen to what my body was telling me. And even if all of those answers feel very hippie and au naturel to some people, at the end of the day, that's what worked for me. It's fixing my circadian rhythm, so no longer napping, which was really hard, but it just took practice. And then cutting out screen time, you know, cutting it way back. Even now, because my daughter has ADHD, I really try to get screen time away from sunset, because the blue light is so bad for our brains. The light from our phones and from our screens has been proven scientifically to have the same effect on our nervous system as our, you know, ancestors used to when they saw a predator animal. So we can't just ignore these things as modern society and the way things are. Like this, we have to listen to our bodies. So for me, being outside in nature a lot was what really helped me. So we bought a house in Jervis Bay and renovated that. So I wasn't fully relaxing, but being away from the business and away from Sydney and being able to do, you know, 2 hours of yoga a day and meditate every single day, a couple of times a day. And then just being honest about my relationships as well. So some of the relationships in my life had to go, even family ones, and a lot of friendships had to go. Because if there's a part of you that is not being honest and not able to say, this is how I feel and this is who I am, then that leads to chronic stress and high cortisol levels, which leads to, we have to be honest, it leads to immune system suppression, which leads to ill health in every arena of your life. So stress leads to autoimmune diseases. All of these ranges of diseases that a lot of women are sitting out there in chronic pain experiencing that are going undiagnosed as well. The research shows that stress is universally caused by uncertainty, loss of control, and lack of information. So that's like all day, every day experiences for everyone. And so really it just comes down to us having to learn how to sit with our emotions, how to sit with our feelings, acknowledging them, and then having the strength and bravery to go out in the world and say, this is what my needs and boundaries are now. Even if they've changed, this is what I needed.
What do you think business owners could do, or heads of departments, captains, to protect their team from the burn crash cycle?
So I lived through that for 20 years because I just didn't know how to end the cycle. I just didn't know how to short circuit that cycle. And I, you know, was pushing myself way too hard doing my master's, being a midwife, being a single mom. I didn't even have a license. So I was doing all this with public transport. And I think that I, until I was really sick, I wasn't able to stop that crash burn cycle. And I don't know if it's something that an employer can or should even get involved with, so much as the person who's experiencing that needs to take themselves away from their professional setting for a while and really recalibrate. There's no way around it otherwise. You can't just keep pushing through because you know, I was, you know, at my worst, going to a yoga class with friends and then stuck in bed for a month afterwards.
Wow. But I guess what employers can do is signpost and say, I'm noticing the signs.
Yeah, absolutely. For example, if you notice that someone's skipping meals as well, that's a really early sign of not coping and not being productive. Obviously being late often to work, you know, and but also I think for managers, just making sure that they're structuring a roster that is supportive are so important to people's health, because we all need time to rest. And I think, you know, it's like you and I have discussed before, the difference of when you're on the water so much and you don't have that time to yourself is a really unique culture we're in. And I myself have felt really claustrophobic when I've been on charter. You know, it's there are people everywhere. And one of the most important things about nervous system regulation is just listening to your body and taking a minute for yourself. So if somebody says that they need 5 minutes, they need 5 minutes. And you just take that 5 minutes. Just even if it's a bathroom, you can go to the bathroom, you can just shut your eyes. You can do some tapping, because for me, tapping has been life-changing. And I know a lot of people will think that's a hippie, alternative, crazy, woo-woo thing to do. But tapping for me, and it's just such a simple thing to do as well, releases and relaxes my psoas muscle, which is the muscle that goes from around your bum and in front of your pelvis. And just closing your eyes and just taking some deep breaths. Dr. Andrew Well was very instrumental in my health journey. And he's a functional medicine doctor, and he's been doing for 30 years, quick breathe in for 4, hold for 7, slow breathe out for 8. And I do that every day now, and it is incredible the difference.
Throughout the day, or do you have a routine, a ritual?
Every morning and every night I do it. But if I feel myself getting anxious, which I do all the time, yeah, I'll just take myself up to the flybridge where I am now or to the park, you know. I mean, if you're on a super yacht and you're unable to do that, you can just go into your own quarters or onto your own bathroom. But I think that getting onto land and being on the grass or on the sand and just listening to nature and just taking as much time as you can to reconnect with what's going on with your body and listening, just listening to what's coming up for you is really important. Feeling unseen and unheard causes chronic stress and ill health and ultimately things like cancer.
So basically what you are describing there is just you rewiring your brain to think differently and act differently.
Exactly. So the way that I healed my chronic pain and chronic fatigue was through predominantly fixing my circadian rhythm, being outside in the sunshine a lot, yoga, meditation, and brain rewiring, which I learned through Raelynn Agle and her YouTube channel. So I also had, for the last 2 years, severe chronic pelvic pain that didn't go away. So I had that from when I woke up, and it was just like having period pain, but it was also tingling going down my legs. I'd have that from when I woke up to when I go to sleep. And that was for 2 years. And I got that really wore down my mental health, and I felt very isolated. And I really reached a mental health crisis point in October last year as a result of that. And I also had a burst ovarian cyst. So I ended up in the hospital, and my pain wasn't believed in the hospital. And it was the hospital I worked at as a midwife as well.
Wow.
So that was like a double-edged sword. I don't know why, but it always comes back to me that like I was a midwife here.
Yeah.
So I was left in agony, screaming for about 72 hours in and out of the hospital. And I didn't even know what was going on with me. They didn't know what was going on with me. But yeah, it was a medical emergency. I had a lactate of 4. It was a very scary situation. And after that, because I was also living in Jervis Bay and away from my community and away from my business, which is a huge part of my identity, and away from boats and the water, I just headed into a very, very dark place and started speaking in past tense.
Wow. Because you felt like you lost your sense of identity.
Lost my sense of identity completely, and I felt very unseen and unheard because I had expressed to friends and family that I was in pain, but people who haven't experienced that often don't know what to say, and they don't know how to hold space for someone long term that's experiencing chronic illness. Yeah. I think a lot of people are very good at the short term but not good at the long term checking in. And so once my pain had been going on for a long time, I became more and more isolated. And we also wanted to maintain professionalism in our company, so we didn't tell any clients that I was sick. It was only when I came back to work after healing myself that my clients said, wow, you've lost a bit of weight. Yes, I stopped eating.
Yeah, that would do it.
Yeah, but what happened was I spent about a month in bed staring at the floor, trying to find the will to try again. And I found it. And through journaling, through talking with my partner and my best friend, I just found a way through.
Well,
and
yeah,
I healed my pain. I had a video, I watched a particular video, I'll send you the link, but with this woman who had a very similar childhood to me, and then had very similar chronic fatigue and pain to me. And she described her understanding of psychosomatic pain, which is pain which manifests in the body from the brain. And she just described it in a way that it clicked for me. And my brain realized the jig was up and it went, oh, we can't do this anymore. Like, and what we were playing at now. And the pain after I started tapping and I watched that video and I read a couple of books about how psychosomatic pain manifests itself, once I really understood it, that was it. And I've not had a moment of pain since.
Fantastic. Last question. What would you say to someone who is highly productive and they get their sense of self-worth through being productive and hearing you as a mum and a business owner? So am I, and I know the load that what that looks like, and you listing out those interventions that you apply on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Someone could think in that category, a high performer, I don't have time to do that. Like, when am I going to have the time to do that?
Everybody has time.
How would you challenge that thinking?
Well, I mean, you just have to look at how much social media time you've spent in the last week on your phone. I mean, a lot of people find time for mindless scrolling, but at the end of the day, you really just have to prioritize your health.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I gave myself permission to not be perfect as a mother anymore as well. You know, like I was just trying to be perfect at everything. And now, you know, a good example of me putting myself first was that I'm renovating this catamaran that we're sitting on right now. And I've just let myself have two nights a week here so that I can just spend time being a woman, being a professional, being a business owner, going out with friends and just spending time.
So lovely.
Yeah. I think everybody just has to prioritize themselves. And as women, yes, we've been encouraged to take everything that we want to take professionally. And I encourage that. I have not disconnected myself from productivity and self-worth. They go together for me. They're inextricably linked. And I don't think that they shouldn't be. I mean, yes, I think that our self-worth should be separate from, you know, capitalist success. But I find an enormous amount of self-worth from renovating this catamaran. There's nothing wrong with that. But absolutely everybody can take 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes at night. Emma Greed and Oprah do it. We can do it.
Love it.
We don't be perfect either. I think
meditation can be
so intimidating. And I've said to my best friend, who's a commercial lawyer and the opposite of me in terms of the hippie to corporate spectrum, she's over here. And I said to her, you only have to find a happy place inside of yourself, in your chest, and you just go there. You know, I just go there and I close my eyes and I just imagine myself as a mermaid swimming around in the water.
Yeah.
And that's just connecting to yourself, telling your body that it's safe and regulating. And then once you've continued to show your body and your nervous system that you will protect it, then every stimuli becomes smaller and less significant.
Very interesting. Thank you so much for your time, Alice, and sharing your journey. I know it's a personal one, so thank you for your vulnerability.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
If your brand belongs in the heart of the yachting world, this is where it happens. Yachting International Radio reaches over 1 million yachting professionals and enthusiasts every month with 77 million impressions, 220,000 social followers, and 74,000 podcast subscribers. Our hosts are insiders, crew, captains, CEOs, trusted voices shaping the industry. This is targeted, high-impact advertising in a luxury niche. Visit yachtinginternationalradio.com/advertise. Your audience is already listening.